Not enough in the water. You can still hear the metal screaming and the submariners begging for mercy. Maximus Halloran, age 15. With the hog large on the landscape ahead, Max could make out the dots representing the other five squads, 120 in all. He could see a few games going on. There was some netting, some stall chasing, and the obligatory chicken and sprint contests. Today, though, he fancied relaxing into the upgrade and seeing a little more of what it could do, how much he had to push to get where he wanted. Martha's mind touch warmed him to his soul. She wanted it too.
Halex, Valex, sorry to intrude.
Not a problem, Skipper. What can I do for you? I'm not signing up for a stall dare, okay? Scared myself shitless last time.
Valera laughed.
Oh yes, brown pouch time indeed. No, it's not that. Got a call for you.
Who is it?
Trust me. Go ahead, commies closed. Valex out.
I'm about to demonstrate skills beyond your wildest dreams, whoever you are. Are you ready to be proved inferior?
Max, it's me.
Annabeth, he croaked.
Max's heart leapt into his throat and hammered away up there. Martha's whole body shook in disapproval. She could be a jealous beast.
Oh, I have the unflappable Max Halloran off balance, do I?
She said.
I might be coerced into admitting that even your voice does things to me, said Max.
Fancy some up close and personal. I need to talk to you.
Max felt a thrill rush through him that brought a growl from Martha.
You never know when we'll get another chance.
Quite.
But something in Annabeth's tone wasn't right.
Where are you?
See the line of dunes a click west of the hog? There's an old camel herd's hut still standing there. Unbelievably. I'm at 1,000 above it.
I'm on my way, said Max. Are you okay?
Tell you in a moment.
He knew he shouldn't, but during the short flight to Annabeth, whose dappled red and white drake he could see circling, he wondered if he was about to be dumped. Stupid, but he felt the anxiety nonetheless. Max flew low over the hut, seeing corrugated iron bolted to steel piles sunk into concrete. One or two panels hung loose. The roof was half gone. The remains of a camel pen remained in evidence, along with a washing line, while old litter still blew about inside, surviving against all the odds. Splashes of bright colour against the background of sand.
"Nice place you've got there," he said, flying up towards her.
"I wrote down all the obvious clichés, and that was number one."
"The decoration needs attention."
"Wow, Max, 2 for 2. Get up here. Skytime won't last forever."
"Can't it wait until we're in bed later?"
"It's hard to get into bed with a landfill inmate."
"You mean the upgrade? It'll be okay."
Max turned tight and came alongside Annabeth.
"What do you want to do?"
"Twine," she said, looking across at him. "What else?"
"Want to go on top first, or shall I?"
"Do you ever think about anything other than sex?"
"I'm sure I've no idea what you're talking about," said Max.
"Whatever. You take position one. I'm ready when you are."
Max sideslipped away about 20 meters and matched Annabeth's drake beat for beat.
"Check this out," he said.
He rose a few meters, turned a single roll, and finished directly above her. Martha roared her pleasure.
"Cool, eh?"
"Actually, yes. But how about this?"
Annabeth switched onto her back, had her drake twine Martha's tail in hers, and moved her head up so the two drakes touched muzzles. She furled her drake's wings, Martha's snapping out in response. The pair began to descend, Max putting Martha on the glide, the extra weight making manoeuvring difficult.
"All right, that's even cooler."
"Good, aren't I?"
Annabeth's voice came to him like he was sitting next to her. It was a wonderful anomaly of twine flying, still the best method for a fit drake to land a wounded one, that they could speak directly through their rides. He switched off his comm and looked down at her, seeing only her eyes and nose.
"You're amazing," he said.
"How long can you keep us up?"
Reckon we can take the strain for a good 10 minutes at this height. I'll let you know if we need a switch.
Annabeth was regarding him with a seriousness that concerned him.
What's up?
You can't take the upgrade, she said.
We...
Listen to me. I've got to get this out. It's because I trust your instincts when you smell a rat that I did this.
Did what?
Got some information out of the ERC about your upgrade.
How the hell did you manage that?
Martha was buffeted by a whack of clear air turbulence. Max beat her wings and put her in a shallower glide.
Okay, steady.
I wouldn't sleep with anyone else, but you aren't the only man who finds me attractive, all right? Do I need to draw you a picture?
No,
said Max, a little more petulant in tone than he'd intended.
Deal with it. Just listen. That upgrade is less than half-cooked. The data doesn't support deployment, only second-stage modelling and partial field testing. It is unsafe. There isn't even a neural map yet.
But the skipper saw the report.
She saw a report, and Markov wasn't there to endorse it, was she? She saw what they wanted her to see.
But with shielding, we're protected anyway, right? It's going to be retrofitted.
You can't retrofit mind shielding.
Annabeth's eyes betrayed her anxiety.
It's never been done because it's impossible.
Max felt empty, like someone had stolen his guts. There was a rushing noise in his ears, and even his embryonic satisfaction at being proved right was scant comfort. Martha wobbled in flight. He felt horribly exposed and vulnerable. His first instinct was to shrink from her mind. They dropped 100 meters.
Max!
Fuck!
He stabilized Martha.
Sorry.
What the fuck?
Muller promised,
said Max, aware he was sounding a little vague. His heart was pounding away, and all he wanted to do was land and get away from Martha, and that reaction made him feel terrible. Angry, too. Very angry.
Then Muller has swallowed the same shit as Valera. Just don't let them fool you.
They already have.
What?
I'm flying with the upgrade now. All of Inferno XR.
The widening of Annabeth's eyes almost broke him.
How do you think we toasted the maths just now?
He managed. Annabeth loosened the twine and spun her drake 180 degrees before tightening again and beating her wings. Max reacted, Martha's wings beating in sync to avoid fouling. It was inefficient, but it gave them some lift.
I'm driving,
she said, her tone cold and determined.
Don't you do a fucking thing.
Max felt sick. Vindication of his suspicions was a hollow triumph. The rest of IX were still at play, diving, sparring and cavorting, their moves so accurate, so much cleaner than the others in the sky with them.
We have to tell them, said Max.
You can't go open comm with this, said Annabeth.
Who else knows?
No one.
I'll tell them when they're home, said Max, his anger burning his cheeks. I'll fix this.
Just don't try fixing it with your fists, okay?
What can we do? Asked Max, suddenly lost. We're screwed, aren't we?
You've got to try and keep calm. Talk to Valera. I'll stand with you if you want me. Tell her what I just told you. She'll know what to do.
What difference will it make? It's too late.
Don't go there, Max. In a few days, we'll be off to the Vermelho Sea. There'll be time then.
That's 5 days,
snapped Max, unable to quite contain his rage.
That's 5 more sorties away at least. 20+ hours unshielded in an untested upgrade. They've taken a gamble with my life and the lives of all of Inferno X, haven't they? That we'll take down the Maputo. How fucking dare they? I'm not ending up in landfill to get some other fucker a medal.
No, said Annabeth. You're not. I'm not losing you, Max.
I love you,
said Max, before he could stop himself. Annabeth was quiet long enough, Max thought he'd made a huge error.
I love you too.
Anxiety washed through Martha and juddered through Max's mind. He shook himself.
Did you feel that?
Yep.
the calls of drakes at play had changed to mournful calls, and Martha took up the chorus too.
Oh, no. What is it?
Annabeth didn't need to answer him. Martha's head swiveled right and up to track a drake plummeting towards the ground. Max's breath caught in his throat. Its great body led the fall, its tail and neck reaching upwards, its head wobbling in the dirty air. From everywhere, other drakes charged in to try and get beneath it, alongside it, anything to help. Max was transfixed. He knew there was nothing they could do. Nothing anyone could do. The open comms surged with orders and counter-orders, the shouts of pilots trying desperately to get through to the victim. Max stared, keeping Martha on the glide. The drake pushed out a wing and brief hope kindled, but it was a twitching beat, an innate reaction, nothing more. It turned lazily as it fell.
"Pull out! Pull out! Pull out!" whispered Max.
Down they fell, pilot and drake. Everyone knew why. Everyone watched on, seeing themselves in the tragic dive. They watched all the way down until the sand billowed, the drakes roared fury, and the command comm sounded.
"Sky time is aborted," came a gruff voice. "Landing protocols to follow."
The flight deck was somber, where it should have been buzzing, and that suited Max just fine. The fall was part of life on a behemoth, but seeing it played out so publicly had taken the wind from the sails of victory. But Max felt hollow for other reasons too. Once he'd watched the rest of Inferno X land, he'd given Annabeth a desperate hug before walking off the deck arm in arm with Kalani, needing to know she was okay. At the squad victory dinner in the executive restaurant up in Skull Deck 3, alcohol lightened their mood, and talk soon turned to the mission, the upgrade, and their stunning victory. Max forced himself to join in, acting as the life and soul of it all, and led the toast to the ERC team. He soaked up the banter around the table, and saw the light in his friend's eyes when Muller, Avery, Kirby, and even Solomon dropped by to offer their congratulations. Solomon told them they'd struck the first decisive blow that would bring the war to a swift conclusion. When she left them, genuine hope had swept round the table. They could be the squad who finished it, who got out of the pouch before the fall took them, a chance to go home to families they thought they'd never see again and enjoy their pay. And with mind shielding, how could they fail? What a job she'd done on them all. Max had to fight back the rage and keep the smile on his face.
"You all been to tech debrief?" he asked.
Kalani and Gurney were either side of him, and Stepanek was across from him. All three nodded.
"Haven't you?" asked Gurney.
"Not got round to it."
"All right. I think Skipper thought she was the last," said Gurney, and then called along the table to her. "Hey, Skipper, is the ERC still open? Max hasn't quite got in the chair yet."
"Bloody hell, Max. Get your sorry bollocks up there, will you?" said Valera. "They were winding down when I left. Only the duty tech in there by now, I should think. Off you go."
Max pushed back his chair and gave an extravagant bow.
"My friends, duty calls. Think of me while you drink and make merry."
The response was loud and predictable. Lucky the Marshal Jen wasn't within earshot. It wasn't far to the ERC complex. Every behemoth had a significant facility as part of the medical services on Skull Deck 2, so Max walked past a couple of the wards and the passageway that led to Landfill Ward. It always made him shudder. One day, he'd make that walk, and once the door closed behind him, he'd never walk back out. The ERC development was a series of offices and laboratories split over a section of the deck that surrounded the brain sheath. The sheath itself was transparent, reminding anyone passing by they were inside a living organism. The tech debrief lab was just off the main research laboratory, which itself was a place of tables covered in screens and confusing equipment, and whose walls displayed the physiology of man and drake. DNA maps and models sat as ornaments, half-empty mugs stood forgotten on desks, and cables spread like voracious plant life, threatening to obliterate floor, walls and ceiling if left unchecked. Despite the cable weights, taping and covers all over the floor, Max had learned to tread carefully whenever he came here.
"Hello," he called. "Anyone at home?"
"Yup,"
came a voice from his left. Max looked round, and a tall young man appeared. He was probably no older than Max.
"Can I help you?"
"I'm Max Halloran. Are you the duty tech?" His freckled face lit up with a smile.
"Oh, excellent, Hal-X. Very good to meet you. A fantastic result today."
He came forward and stuck out a long-fingered hand, which Max shook.
"I'm Carlos Ashanti."
"Unbelievable day," said Max. "I need to debrief."
"Of course, of course. This way."
Max had been here a few times, but he followed along dutifully, working out how best to get the information he wanted to back up what Anna Beth had told him. It would be easier if Ashanti was a twat, but he appeared irritatingly pleasant. The tech debrief room was dominated by a sensor chair and a single workbench set with multiple screens. Max settled into the chair, slipped his hands into the gloves, and let Ashanti pull the sensor-encrusted skullcap down onto his head. Now every neural pathway would be mapped, every emotion and muscle movement recorded, and every word he said during the debrief would be overlaid on a map of the mission. All he had to do was answer some questions and give a few opinions. Science would do the rest.
"Are you comfortable?"
"Have you ever sat in this chair?" asked Max. A series of green lights and a single red one blinked and steadied on a panel above Max's head.
"Nope," said Ashanti. "But we're good to go. We're recording. This is Carlos Ashanti, Extra Reptilian Construct Research and Development Team, Technician First Class."
"First class, eh? Good work."
"Thanks. Yes. Well, we all try to do our best."
"Most of us."
"So, this is the tech debrief of Pilot Hal-X of Inferno-X, following upgrade 37, HIO, enhanced sentience activation and adjustment of neural interface." "Right, Hal-X."
"Call me Max."
"Max, we'll begin with some simple questions to normalize the reading input. Did I give you a correct call sign and squadron?"
"You did."
"What did you have for breakfast this morning?"
"Scrambled egg, toast, appalling tin bacon and strong coffee." Ashanti smiled.
"And do you feel hot, cold or normal temperature at the moment?"
"Entirely normal, thank you. No need to adjust the aircon."
"That's not a question about the air.
I know what it's about."
"Right, great. We're normalized within standard parameters, so how did you feel approaching your Drake this afternoon?"
"Can we pause the recording? I need to piss, sorry."
"Oh, sure."
Ashanti tapped the screen behind him, and the big red light dimmed away.
"I'll get you a sample file for analysis later."
Max took his hands out of the gloves and pushed the skullcap back.
"Can I ask you something?"
"Sure,"
said Ashanti.
"How old are you?"
Ashanti frowned and shrugged.
23? Why?"
"Same as me. Looking forward to a long, happy life beyond the war."
"I'm... well, sure. Aren't we all?"
"I'm a Drake pilot, Carlos. I get to look forward to a slow, irreversible decline into the most depressing of deaths, unless I manage to fall on the wing."
"Sorry. Sorry."
Ashanti held up his hands in a placatory gesture.
"Sorry."
Max pushed himself half out of the chair and gave Ashanti a playful punch on the shoulder.
"Don't beat yourself up. I knew what I was signing up for."
"Toilets just down the corridor, third on the left."
Max stood up and made to go before pausing and turning for effect.
"I watched one of our pilots fall today. Even so, it's a great life, but it's short, and I'd hate to think anyone would deliberately make it shorter."
"Heaven forbid,"
said Ashanti, and there was a shine to his brow. Max leaned in to his discomfort.
"Why do we need mind shielding, Carlos?"
"Well, a Drake's mind is inherently stronger than a human's, so it delays decline into the fall,"
said Ashanti.
"But it's seriously expensive."
"Yeah, I mean, ridiculously.
You wouldn't believe it.
Max joined the laughter, then sobered in an instant. And without it? Ashanti's eyes wouldn't light on Max suddenly. They searched for a way out, but Max had closed in to deny him escape.
You know, he said. Remind me. Well, depending on the scale of open neural interaction, decline of an unshielded pilot can be very swift.
Fascinating. Define very swift. Ashanti held up his hands. He was breathing hard.
I know what you're driving at, and I don't blame you. You're just a monkey like me when all's said and done, but answer my question.
Ashanti relaxed a little.
Anything from first sortie onwards. Risk of the fall increases with hours in the pouch anyway, but it's exponential without shielding.
Thank you. Max turned to go, then paused. I need to confirm one thing. Can you retrofit shielding?
It's never been done, said Ashanti.
That's a bullshit weasel response, Carlos. I thought we were going to be friends. Take your hand away from that screen. If that red light comes on, I'll break your arm. Ashanti started and hesitated.
No, I mean, because it's not possible.
For sure? Ashanti nodded.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Shooting messengers isn't my style.
But you know what they've done to us, right? Think about it, and about what you might do to help. Perhaps it's time you went for your piss,
said Ashanti, hands trembling. Is that supposed to be a joke?
No, not at all. It's just that you said you needed one, and we need to finish the debrief.
Max stared at him.
You can stick your tech debrief up Markov's arse. I'm giving you nothing.
Inferno X might be screwed, but no other squadron needs to be. And you're in charge of the data, Carlos. Do you get me?
Chapter 17. The voracity with which the alien technologies were gobbled up by the world's superpowers had an unpleasant, almost bestial quality. It left comparatively few of us asking really important questions like, where did they come from? The problem is, the answer to that sort of question doesn't confer any battlefield advantage. Professor Mehmet Gavani, Diaries.
Max, you need to calm right down.
Why? You've been lied to. So has Muller. So have all of us.
She'd pulled him into her pod pretty much as soon as she'd seen his face. Apparently, he looked like he was about to detonate. He felt he was masking his anger rather well. They had agreed to differ.
Where did Annabeth get her information?
Valera was still in denial.
Some tweaker ex of hers, but it isn't just her, is it? The tech I went to see, Ashanti, he's confirmed it. It's impossible, so no one's ever tried it, and they aren't going to start now. Mind you...
What? Max shook his head.
Nothing. It's nothing. IX has been sacrificed on the altar of Corsini's lust for power, pure and simple.
Valera took a breath, walking round in a small circle.
These are serious allegations. But we're in a fix. Never mind who's implicated, we've got this upgrade, and I need to work out what, if anything, we can do. Markov signed it off, after all.
And is nowhere to be seen at the moment. You've seen the signature that Kirby showed you, but he's a lying bag of shit, so it's probably forged. Why are you defending an upgrade you didn't want?
What I want is information I can use, not hearsay and the word of a tech you threatened.
You don't believe me?
Of course I believe you, but it isn't as simple as marching into the XO and issuing accusations. I have to be sure of my ground, and Max's girlfriend's ex-fuck-buddy says isn't going to cut it.
Max sighed.
We don't have time to screw around, Skipper. One after the other, we've been up to the tweakers and told them how brilliant it is. That's going to greenlight pushing the upgrade to every squad. We cannot allow that to happen. Bloody hell. Landfill's going to burst with new inmates, all in the name of money and power. There's no honour here. No respect.
Quiet down,
snapped Valera.
I know you're angry. That doesn't even begin to explain how I feel.
I get it. But we have to have some evidence. So here's what I'll do. I'll ping the other skippers, make them aware of the potential problems with the upgrade. Next, I'll go and speak to Markov, if I can find her, and Rosenbach, if I can't, and confirm what Ashanti told you. Then I will approach Muller and Commander Avery. Am I clear?
Max nodded reluctantly. Protocol was bullshit.
Kirby needs pinning against a wall until he coughs up the truth.
See why I'm skipper and you're not?
Valera opened her pod door.
Come on, go to bed, and neither you nor Annabeth says anything to anyone until I say so.
Why? People have to know.
Valera nodded.
And so they will, but in the right way. That's my way, in case you weren't clear.
Why aren't you raging?
Who says I'm not?
Max sat up in bed and looked at the time. It was 5:30 a.m. His heart was thumping away with the broken memories of half-dreams from fitful sleep. His anger was keeping his mind whirring and his body tense. Try as he might, he couldn't shake it off. He wasn't sure he wanted to. He looked down at Annabeth, who had the sheet pulled up over her shoulders and was facing the other way. He'd fought it all night, but he couldn't just lie here and hope. No way. No way was that upgrade happening to her. No way was some dragon going to steal her mind from him. Kirby could stop it happening, but if Max was to see him, it had to be now, before it was too late. He got out of bed and started to slip on some clothes as quietly as he could. Valera's plan was all very well, but it was too slow. It was pretty obvious they'd upgrade every Drake at the earliest opportunity, whether they got squadron agreement or not. That probably meant along with their first feed of the day, in about an hour and a half. Then it would be job done as far as Kirby and Solomon were concerned, and they could go and tell Corsini what good little subjects they'd been. Shortly after that, Drake pilots would start dropping out of the sky. Annabeth might drop out of the sky. Max slipped on his shoes and headed for the door.
Where do you think you're going?
Max started and looked around. Annabeth was staring at him.
I thought you were asleep. Oh, yeah. Nothing easier than sleeping with a huffing, cursing, twitching goon next to you. I can tell you.
I couldn't sleep.
I'd never have guessed.
I thought it might help if I sat in the squad room, had some coffee or something.
It's still last night, and if you're heading out for a quiet cup of coffee, then I'm a slime-sucking gecko rat.
Max managed to smile and sat on the edge of the bed.
Busted, he said.
He put a hand on her shoulder and she turned over onto her back.
You were pissed off with me last night, weren't you?
No, it's just a little hard to be sympathetic in the face of a prolonged rant.
I'm sorry, said Max, attempting sheepishness. I was very angry, wasn't I?
With good reason. You've just been handed what amounts to a death sentence.
I'm more concerned they'll hand it to you next.
Annabeth's eyes sparkled.
And I love you for that. But you needed to listen to me and trust your skipper. And you weren't about to do either. I had to close you down.
Sorry.
So, what particularly stupid thing are you thinking of doing?
Max shrugged and tried to appear relaxed while he lied to her.
I was hoping it would come to me. I just can't sit here and do nothing and then find out it's too late to do anything. I won't let them kill you like they're killing me.
Annabeth smiled and stroked his arm.
Tough, isn't it? Finding out you care about someone other than yourself?
It's a nightmare without end, said Max.
Well, at least you haven't lost your sense of humour. You were joking, right?
I'm not sure, actually.
You can't do it all by yourself, love. So go and have that cup of coffee, realise anything you do will cause more trouble, and then come back to bed. Like I said, it's still last night.
Max kissed her, then levered himself off the bed.
I get you. Should I bring you anything?
Just yourself, in about half an hour?
Done. Annabeth turned over, and Max walked to the deserted squadron, where he'd only have the whirring of fans for a distraction. For a moment he actually contemplated sitting down in the minimally lit gloom and thinking things through, but the clock was ticking, and those things needed to be said. Max headed towards the main door. Even though the air circulation system was beginning to wind down as they approached the time for a regeneration cycle in the Vermelo Sea, the early air was fresh and cool. The central spine corridor was almost deserted, allowing Max some peace and quiet, with just the regular thump of the hog's feet and the working of its cavernous lungs for company. Sure, there were a few crew about, heading for whatever task they had to perform, but up here, where the dormitories were thick on the ground, and no one had been called for a dawn sortie, it was beautifully empty. So much so that he stopped for a moment, turned a slow circle, and took in the corridor, its doors and side passages, and the melodic echoing sounds the hog made, sounds usually covered up by the cumulative din of 10,000 humans. He took a short walk towards the neck, whose walkways became stairs should it steepen its normal gentle angle to give the head more elevation. It had no rooms, but plenty of conduit space, plus engineering and tweaker access. Max hurried along it and headed up to Skull Deck 3, where the execs all had their sizable suites of rooms. Max's pass granted him access to all three skull decks, and he exchanged pleasantries with a couple of sets of security personnel he passed on the way. If anyone asked, he was heading for the exec gymnasiums, but he wasn't stopped. After all, he was Inferno X. To be fair to the exec, although their rooms were larger, there were no particular additional touches of luxury. Same old bone and metal floor with its rubberized coating, same old wall panels, and even a tiny bit of seepage, though nothing like the grunts had to endure. Max arrived at Kirby's door, raised his fist to knock, and then paused, the first motes of doubt creeping into his head. Valera might be right about following procedure, but they had to let Kirby know they were onto him, didn't they? He had to know that upgrading more widely couldn't be sanctioned. Max rapped on the metal door, the sound ringing dully in the corridor and presumably within. He stepped back and waited. He was wondering how long to wait until he knocked again, when the lock clunked back and the door opened. Kirby was wearing sweats, but didn't look like he'd just been dragged out of bed.
"What the hell do you want?" he asked.
"I need to talk to you, sir."
"The desire's been burning you all night by the looks."
Kirby raised his eyebrows and shook his head, before pushing the door wide and wandering off inside. Max followed and closed the door. He was in a small, sparsely decorated living area, with a desk, a round table and four chairs, a two-seater sofa and a high-backed armchair. There was a single door leading off to the bedroom and washroom, and faint music was coming from within. Kirby went to his desk, which had a drinks unit next to it. He put a mug under the spout and thumbed a selection.
"Want a coffee or something?"
"No thanks, sir," said Max,
fighting to stay calm despite the nonchalance of the lying shit in front of him.
"You don't seem surprised to see me."
"I'm not, really, though I hadn't expected you to come knocking till a little later. Ashanti mentioned your refusal to test in his report, and I guessed you'd want to see me. I expect you're angry."
Max felt completely wrong-footed. Kirby smiled, picked up his mug, and gestured to the sofa.
"Go on, sit down. I suspect you've rarely seen this time of day."
"Only when I'm angry, apparently."
Kirby sat in the high back chair and waved Max down. He sat on the sofa, his visions of how this would go disintegrating.
"You'll find nothing is quite as clear-cut as it seems."
"It seems pretty clear-cut to me," said Max.
"To you, yes. That's why you're in here, while Orin, who I'm sure you've told all about this, is tucked up in bed. You know why?"
"Yeah, because she wants to collect hard evidence that you're lying," said Max.
"You know, Halloran, you've walked the wrong side of the line pretty much ever since you joined the Granite. And you screwed up after our chat in the brig. But I'm still going to offer you one last free piece of advice."
"What is it? Don't trust your XO.
"Don't fuck with your XO.
Max took a breath.
It's too late for me, I get that.
Actually, we think IX will be just fine.
Really? Reckon my source who says we're all utterly screwed is more reliable, don't you?
That data I've seen supports my view.
Max gathered himself.
You promised us mind-shielding that we will not get. You lied to us.
Kirby didn't even flinch.
I gave you the means to strike back, maybe make the decisive break. Have you really no idea what bringing down the Maputo will do? Win the war, walk away a hero, alive and with your mind still your own? Without the upgrade, the stalemate continues, and every pilot on this behemoth goes through the fall before the war ends. My way, we have a chance, so you have a chance too. Can you understand that?
I'm not here for me, sir. I want you to promise me you won't roll out this upgrade to the other squads. We had no choice. They deserve one.
Kirby sighed.
Your desire to save your girlfriend is very noble. I presume that's what this is really about.
So I care. So what?
Your request is noted. And now I have to go back to making the hard, unpalatable choices that keep me awake all night.
Max blinked.
That's it.
What else were you expecting? Said Kirby, shortly.
I don't know. Some acknowledgement that you won't make the same mistake with the other squads?
What mistake?
Snapped Kirby, then tensed, his face set.
That...
The XO's eyes betrayed him.
You knew, didn't you? You knew all along.
Like I said, unpalatable choices. Drop it, Halloran. You're dismissed.
Probably not even impossible to retrofit it, is it?
Said Max, his face hot. Kirby stared at him, his expression cold.
Fucking hell. I'm right, aren't I?
You really should have let Valera handle this. Goodbye, Max.
Chapter 18. My mum kept on saying I never thought of anyone but myself. Good career move, as it turns out. Maximus Halloran. Max started running the moment he reached the neck. There were more people about now as the Heart of Granite began to prepare for the new day, but the corridors were still quiet. With every step he tried to go faster, stretch his legs that little further, and pump his arms a little harder. The run was short and energizing, and he fetched up at the squad rack panting hard and feeling a little light-headed. His anger had been swallowed up by a kind of revolutionary excitement that quickened his pulse still further. He needed everyone out of their pods to hear how they'd been betrayed. He started by hammering on Valera's door.
Skipper, get up! You've got to get up!
He stepped away and hollered down the corridor.
Inferno X! Get your asses out of bed! Up! Up!
Max snapped his fingers together and headed for the comm panel near the dorm door. His finger was on the red alarm stud when Valera's voice stopped him.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
He's throwing us away,
he said, spinning round and walking towards her, his mind so full of words he didn't know which to say first.
He always knew there wouldn't be shielding.
Valera stilled his words with a curt hand gesture.
What did you do, Max?
I went to see him. I confronted the bastard.
The blood ran from Valera's face.
Oh, holy fuck. Who?
Kirby! That lying, seething bag of turd!
You fucking idiot!
Valera bellowed the word right into his face, so loud he staggered back a pace.
I... What? You wanted proof, and I got it.
Doors were starting to open along the corridor, and bleary-eyed pilots were emerging, heading towards the shouting.
No, you didn't.
Valera pushed her hands through her hair, then grabbed his shoulders.
Why can't you ever listen?
I don't understand. We've got him, Skipper.
Got what, exactly?
Proof that he lied to us. Only there's more. He...
What does it matter?
Spat Valera.
You had to trust me to do what had to be done.
I couldn't sit around and wait for him to kill Annabeth,
he said.
but instead you've confronted a senior officer and accused him of lying.
Valera's expression was draining the energy from him.
I should have shackled you to your bed. Fucking hell.
The dorm doors smashed open and cracked against the wall, and both Max and Valera backed away towards the squadron.
What the fuck?
Stepanek demanded from behind them. Hewitt, his face bruised and swollen, but with an ugly smile on his face, walked in with 6 military police. 4 of the MIPs formed a barrier between Valera and Max and the rest of the squad. 2 of them came past Hewitt and straight for Max.
Get your fucking hands off me!
Shut up and walk out, or we'll carry your thick ass out unconscious,
said Hewitt.
It's up to you.
You're not silencing me. Your boss is a lying, treacherous scumbag, and every pilot needs to know what he's doing.
Hold him,
ordered Hewitt. The MIPs, big men, grabbed an arm each, and it was like being held by a pair of vices. Beyond them, Monteith, Kalani, and Stepanek led a surge forwards. Zapons were enabled, their hiss malevolent.
Let him go, shouted Kalani. Skipper, they can't do this.
Her call was taken up by the rest of the squad, but Valera could only wearily order calm. Max stared at Hewitt as he tried in vain to break the grip of his captors.
All I had to do was wait. I knew you'd louse up soon enough. Revenge is the sweetest thing.
IX, listen to me, said Max. Kirby's lying. It's not it.
One of the MIPs punched him in the stomach, winding him. Zapon's word as IX threatened the line. Hewitt moved in surprisingly quickly, a hypo stick in his right hand. Max aimed a kick at his groin, but the desk polisher dodged it easily enough.
Bye-bye, Halloran.
He jabbed the hypo into Max's shoulder and stepped back.
Fuck you, Hewitt!
Max stared at IX, straight into Annabeth's sheep-white face and wide, dark-rimmed eyes. He felt his strength flooding away and his mind begin to fade.
You were right. Don't let them do it.
As Max's eyelids drooped, he saw Hewitt's fist fly towards his face. He didn't feel the impact. The silence in the squad room was as complete as the din had been moments before. Confusion and anger warred as Max was dragged away, Hewitt hissing a threat into Valera's ear as he went. Valera waved the squad to follow her, and she went and slumped in her chair, her head in her hands, hearing the others join her. There was a restless silence, broken by Monteith.
Skipper?
Valera raised her head, and they were all staring at her. Of course they were.
Where's Annabeth?
I'm here,
she said. Valera looked to her right and saw the distraught Hammerclaw pilot sitting on a chair with her knees pulled up to her chest. She was wearing some of Max's sweats.
What happened last night?
Asked Valera.
He couldn't sleep. He got up at about 5:30 for a coffee and never came back. I'm sorry, Skipper Orin.
Valera held up her hands.
Not your fault. Headstrong does not adequately describe our Max. Are you all right to stay? You're part of this now.
Annabeth nodded.
Try not to worry, said Valera. He's in a shitload of trouble, but none of it's terminal. I'll check in on the brig later.
Thank you.
No problem. All right, you lot. I'll tell you everything I'm allowed to, and a couple of things that will not leave this squadron.
Max had the most spectacular headache when he woke up. The rhythmic pain was intense enough to force him to keep his eyes closed, fearing what the light would do. It felt like his brain was trying to escape through the base of his skull. He was lying on a pallet, which was something, and chose to stay still. Might be best if everyone thought he was out cold. There was no rush, given the shit he was in, and anyway, he reckoned that if he moved his head at all, he'd probably puke. The first thing that impressed itself upon him was the smell. Or the combination of smells. For starters, it was fragrant, though he couldn't identify it. Sort of grassy, or maybe it was the seaside. Whatever. But there was more to it. The faint scent of excrement underlying disinfectant. Lingering old food and stale coffee as well. It told him that he wasn't in the brig. Maybe in medical? It was quiet. There was music, violins and a piano from somewhere, all very gentle and calming, and with no chance of making any playlist of his until he was dead. And there were a few voices. Max listened harder, but it wasn't conversation. Someone was mumbling incoherently, and sadly from where Max was. Someone else was crying quietly. To his right, there was rhythmic rustling, and then a woman cleared her throat and turned the page of a book. So, medical then. There was certainly plenty of light through his eyelids to support that view, and yet he still didn't open his eyes. It couldn't be medical. It didn't feel right. There was misery here. The crying briefly rose in volume, and there was a moan of pain, of loss, within it. Max's next breath caught in his throat, and his eyes flew open to be greeted by a wash of bright and friendly colours. There was a mural on the ceiling, a pure blue sky across which beautiful white drakes flew. The walls to his left and right were bright yellow, and painted with flowers, and birds, and grass, and the whole thing felt more like a child's nursery than the hideous dead end he knew it was. Landfill.
What the fuck am I doing in here?
He whispered, barely moving his lips. Landfill. The end-of-life ward for Drake pilots who had lost the fight against the Fall. It was the place to decline when heaters couldn't hide the signs anymore, and the pilot fell prey to the full and awful range of symptoms, both mental and physical. The Fall, which every Drake pilot feared more than anything, but which they risked because flying a Drake was a high like no other. Max, like every other pilot, had secretly believed he would be the one to beat the Fall, or that he'd die a glorious death in the pouch long before it claimed him. The pain in Max's skull was diminishing slowly, but his anxiety was rising in its wake. He'd never been here before. No one ever came here unless they were dragged. This was where Killarney would end up, unless she managed to die on the wing, and Max prayed that she would. With a deep breath, Max hauled himself slowly up onto his elbows, and then shuffled backwards against his headboard. He took in the cameras placed around the walls and in a central ceiling rose, and then edged his eyes around his surroundings, as if moving them slowly would make his head hurt less. The ward held 20 beds, and, including his, 9 were occupied. There were doors in 3 of the brightly coloured walls. Almost directly opposite him, an open door allowed a view of plants, warm lights, and what looked like the edge of a fountain. To his left was a closed door with a single window letting him see enough to know it was the washroom. To his right was the big, solid door to the rest of the hog. The floor was covered in rugs. Max's pulse was uncomfortably high, and he felt his horror rise as he gazed at his fellow inmates. There was no one in the beds adjacent to him, and it looked as though all the current inmates had been placed to maximise individual space. Max was at one end of the rectangular ward. Opposite him were 2 recumbent forms, and he could see little of them. They were barely moving, suggesting they were catatonic, since sleeping only led to nightmares of blood and fire. Or so they said. Down the left and right, where 14 beds were split into 2 sets of 7, 3 were occupied on either side. Closest to him, a woman was propped up reading a book, and to all intents and purposes looked entirely normal. She had a drink on her table, a pair of headphones over her ears, and colour in her cheeks. Normal, only her legs twitched and quivered violently beneath the sheets, and she cleared her throat every few seconds with an agonising rasp. Beyond her, another woman lay looking away from him. She muttered and moaned and waved imaginary things from before her eyes. And at the end of the left-hand beds, a man was sitting on the edge of his, staring down at his legs as if willing them to move while his hands and head shook. Max had to drag his gaze to the other side. A woman lay on her side, face a rictus of terror, while drools slipped from her mouth and her eyes searched everywhere and lit on nothing. Another lay flat on her back while her whole body shook. She cried out intermittently, demanding to see the sky and yelling warnings of the fire she imagined consumed her, before lapsing into muttering. and there was a man staring straight at him, or straight through him, with eyes that were bottomless, so lost was he. Not one of them would be over 27, though they all looked so much older, with grey skin, hair loss, and mouths filled with rotting teeth. It was impossible to imagine them as the fit, strong Drake pilots they had been. That's what the fall did. Max's lower lip was trembling, and he tried to still it, not wanting to break a sob. Here was his fate, the one he'd signed up for willingly, because he, like all of them, didn't believe it would ever come to this. It was the one coming for Killarney right now, and it would come for Annabeth too, because he had failed her. Failed them all. Stuck in here, Max could bellow about lies and deceit all he wanted. No one would listen or care, because it was already too late. So much wreckage. So much waste. So much unshakable destiny. Max drew his knees up to his chest and sobbed. Chapter 19. How majestic the Behemoths looked, gazing down on us tiny humans with their benevolent eyes. How graceful their movement, and how welcoming their bones to the humans who rode within them. It should have been the beginning of an age of wonder. History will give it a far more damning title. Professor Helena Markov, CEO, ERCP. Flight Deck Alpha was busy with preparations for the day's sorties. All the Drake squads were going out to scout, the Basilisks were on a forward recon, and there were infantry ground exercises on the slate too. Orders were echoing out of loudspeakers, and the activity in Flight Command was brisk and busy. Grim walked over to Martha, pushing her arms into her bright yellow overalls, hearing the Drake kicking at her pen and the metal reverberating to the blows.
"What are you so ticked off about?"
Grim zipped up her overalls and looked through the wide window.
"Restless for some action?"
It wasn't that, though. Drake's didn't exactly have a wide range of facial expressions, but her body was tense, and her eyes were wide and unhappy. Grim unlatched the pen door and closed it behind her before she turned to stroke Martha's cheeks. The Drake raised her head and shook it gently.
"Missing your man, are you? Well, don't worry. He'll be down here any time. He'll be late, of course, but he wouldn't be Max otherwise, would he? Let me disconnect your tubes and we'll give you a good brush down, okay?"
Grim turned and pulled up abruptly. Flight Commander Muller was at the side door to the tech area.
"Grimaldi?"
"Sir?"
"Can I come in?"
"Of course, sir. I'm just getting her ready, sir."
"Yes. About that," said Muller,
entering the pen. Grim watched him, a frown on her face, and knowing that no good was going to come of this encounter. She tried to think of any transgressions she'd made, but there was nothing. Certainly nothing that would require Muller's personal attention.
"Can I help you, sir?"
she asked. He smiled rather sadly.
"No. I'm just here to pass on the news that Max won't be flying today, and you should stand this Drake down. You know the procedure."
Martha's rear claw whacked against the back of the pen, and she rattled fluid deep down in her throat. Muller started and backed towards the door.
"She don't like bad news all that much."
"Very funny, Grimaldi," said Muller, his face a little pale. "If only they could talk, eh?"
"Why isn't Max flying, sir?"
"He's injured, in a non-flying incident," said Muller, too quickly.
"Which ward is he in, sir? I'll get off and see him."
"He's not... Look, Grimaldi, I need to take the comparison readings from your data point."
Grim felt as if she'd been slapped across the face.
"Why?"
Muller tried a mollifying smile, but it was weak.
"It's nothing to worry about. File work, you know."
Grim shook her head. There were no good reasons he'd need that data. She reached into her pocket, though, and proffered her access card.
"Here,"
she said, her tone deliberately sullen.
"Sir."
Muller might have reacted badly, but he merely nodded.
Thanks, but I've brought the master key.
Then with respect, why even ask me, sir?
Because I respect those who work for me, and, more importantly, Grimm, because you need to know. I hope you understand.
Grimm nodded and led the way to the data point, hooked to the pen by her small workstation and screen. She stood and watched while Muller scanned his access card, then downloaded the dataset onto his peepalm. When he was done, he managed a curt nod before striding off. Grimm turned to watch him go and caught Valera's eye, leading a solemn Inferno X along the flight deck. Valera's anger was apparent with every pace she took.
"What's going on, Skipper?"
asked Grimm.
"Kirby's goons took Max this morning." "Not injured, then, like Muller said?"
Valera shook her head.
"Well, Hewitt punched him, but I doubt he felt it." "Why?"
"I don't want you to get involved in all this." Grimm bridled and gestured behind her at Martha's pen.
"I'm already involved."
"True. Risa can fill you in when we get back." Grimm nodded.
"All right. Where is he?"
"I don't know. He's not in the brig. Wherever he is, we'll get him back. But he's in a shitload of trouble with command."
"Be quick. You saw what Muller did."
Grimm jerked a thumb at Martha's data point.
"Took the latest readings."
"Yes. Don't let them take Martha."
Valera's expression hardened yet further.
"They'd be doing it over the cooling corpses of every member of Inferno X."
Grimm smiled.
"Thanks, Skipper."
Valera dragged her into an embrace.
"We'll work it out, but right now we've got to go. Look after Martha, okay?"
Valera led Inferno X away towards the rest of the pens, each one of them patting Grimm on the back, kissing her on the cheek, or, in Risa's case, enveloping her in a desperate hug. She watched them enter their individual pens before going back to try to placate an increasingly unhappy Firedrake. Max hadn't moved. He just stared at the ceiling. If he'd believed in any god, he would have prayed for a swift end for the tortured souls in landfill. Come to think of it, why had any of these pilots allowed themselves to be admitted and endure this agonizing insanity? Anyone could opt to be euthanized. To date, Max's short life had been crammed full of direction and focus. He'd never doubted his destination, whether it was to get a coffee, pursue a woman, or become a Drake pilot. But here, there was nothing for him to do, no way to move forward. The thought scared him more than he expected. He may not have been mad when he was dumped in here, but it wouldn't take too long for him to become so. Abruptly, renewed pain ricocheted around Max's skull, different to that caused by the drug Hewitt had injected, and far more acute. He cried out involuntarily and clutched the sides of his head, falling forwards onto his bed and gasping for breath. In his mind, he could hear screaming. Wait, it wasn't screaming. It wasn't human at all. It was roaring and bellowing, the sound of anger and frustration, and the hurt of being alone and left behind. "Martha?" he managed. The howling pain ceased as abruptly as it had begun, leaving him with hollow echoes of sadness and confusion. He lay stunned for a while.
"Don't be frightened by it."
The even-toned woman's voice startled Max, and he shot upright, almost falling off the bed. The woman with the twitching legs was looking at him. "By what?" She had a long, tired-looking face, deeply lined and framed by brown hair shot through with premature grey. She looked far older than she could possibly be.
"By hearing your Drake in your head. It isn't what you think."
"What makes you think that's what it was?"
She stared at him pointedly.
"I'm in landfill. I know all the signs."
"But I'm not going through the fall."
She smiled.
"I know. It was clear from the moment you woke up and kept your eyes closed while you tried to work out where you were. That's way too normal."
Max nodded.
"Fair enough. Though you sound way too normal yourself."
"Ah, well. Tell you what, come and sit with me, and I'll tell you all about it.
I'd come to you, but my legs have minds of their own. Think I might have the op to steal them. The drugs aren't working any more.
Max walked over and